Welcome, welcome, welcome back to another fun, funky, fresh episode of the Incohesivity Podcast. I am your host, me. For those of you ever curious about how I do the intro music, I turn it on full volume on my phone and then just continue to press the down volume button until it ceases making noise. We're a professional production here, guys. Oh, man. Welcome back to the Incohesivity Podcast. First off, I would like to address a mistake I made and apologize for it. 2 weeks ago, I believe there was a podcast that was supposed to go up on the 27th of January, and it simply did not. Because I'm special, and I just forgot that there was a 27th day of January, and then I went ahead and scheduled my Maryland podcast, which was the last one you heard, Enter the Crab Dimension, in February, one of the first weeks of February, so that was definitely ghetto on my behalf. Definitely ghetto on my behalf. I apologize about that. I do promise to bring a podcast every single Wednesday, and I did not this time. I'm sorry. I will try to pay better attention next time. Anyways, welcome back to the regularly scheduled program. You can't see me because I never upload the video recordings of my podcast to anything, anywhere, but I'm having a very chill evening in my tank top, in my shorts, and my bonnet, my piercings. I cleaned them just a few minutes ago. Yeah, y'all hear it. Y'all hear it pouring myself. A fresh glass of burdock root tonic. I don't know if I've ever talked about this on my podcast, but for those of you that don't know and are wondering what the fuck burdock root tonic is, it's a tonic. It's like basically just like a health drink, but I make them because, hey, if you know, peer pressure's a bitch. I would be an alcoholic by now, and so I choose to hand make or hand brew my own tonics as alcohol replacement. Really nice in the evening if you know what herbs you're mixing, which I do, bitches. Bow down. Then you should have a pretty easy time of making a tonic that is relaxing, or even can make you a little bit loopy if you know what herbs you're working with. Nothing illegal. Nothing illegal, not ever, but you know. I'm a bit of a herbal medicine nut myself, so I really enjoy doing stuff like this, like making tonic teas, herbal smoking blends. I love that shit. I did talk about the herbal smoking a few podcasts ago. Don't remember which one. Yeah, so it's a chill evening, and you know, I just felt I have been living with the guilt of not properly uploading the podcast for 2 weeks ago, and so I was like, yeah, I need to make a podcast now or else I won't be able to live with myself. So that's what I'm doing. Welcome. It's going to be a chill podcast. I actually just wanted to just go over my week thus far. Because my week has actually been quite interesting. Quite interesting indeed. Where do we even start? Work. Let's start at the beginning of the work week. Let's start Monday. Even though technically the week begins on Sunday, let's start Monday, because I can't remember last Sunday. Work. Cheese on cheese. You know, I hate my workplace. I hate it. Like, I don't want to say, like, hey, like, I'm ungrateful or anything. I am very grateful for my job. It's just, like, it sucks. The whole thing sucks, you know? I work for a religious nonprofit, which means that I have to deal, first off, with just, like, bigotry and judgment at every corner and homophobia, and it's all just justified by, oh, but God likes it, so it must be okay. Like, God don't like ugly. I don't know who told religious people that God likes it when you judge people or bash people or harass people just for existing the way they are. That it says, it doesn't say that in any book. Not in any of the religious books I'm familiar with. And I'm, you know, of course, I'm a Muslim. I know the Quran. I have Christian family members. I grew up with half of my family being Christian. I am familiar with the Bible. You know, one of my favorite subjects used to be studying, like, Taoism. I'm from Maryland, y'all. I don't know how to say words. Taoism and Confucianism and, you know, just Hinduism and Buddhism and all these really cool religions. And let me tell you, nowhere in any of those religions does it just say to just bust down on pissing somebody off, like just absolutely wrecking somebody else's existence. It doesn't say that anywhere. Not in any of those books. Most of those books preach, like, love happiness and rainbows and love thy neighbor, like the stereotypical cultish religious stuff, which I'm all here for. Let's do that all the time. Why not, right? Live your life. If you don't want to do that, period, sis. You said what you said. You're doing what you're doing. That's that on that. But, you know, it's rough at work. And, you know, because it's a Muslim community, I have to come in contact with a lot of cultures that are culturally insensitive. I can't even say that it's, like, people being maliciously racist or colorist or just rude and nasty. I want to say that those are just, like, cultures, those are just ideals and practices and behavioral patterns that they're familiar with from their own culture, and that's completely normal to them, and it's not offensive in any way because that's just how they function over there. I mean, like, you could ask the people that they're insulting in their home countries and they'll probably say otherwise, but, you know, it's not the point, right? You know, I have to deal with bigotry at work. I have to deal with racism at work. I have to deal with getting underpaid and mistreated at work. And, you know, I put up with all of that, right? Because, quite frankly, and it's very unfortunate, me growing up in a Muslim community, that's nothing new. Anybody from the outside who would just show up to the party would probably just be like, yeah, join the shit show. Like, this is not new, right? But for me, you know, yeah, whatever. But anyways, I kind of, this past week at work, you know, my supervisor, who was formerly my coworker, went back to being my coworker because apparently she was promoted to supervisor, only got a $1 raise, and did four times the work than when she was an associate. And she just said, hey, you know, it's not worth it. Which is valid. That's 100% valid. Value yourself and your work, sis. Absolutely. So she just went back to being an associate. She was like, everybody can suck a dick. Don't ask me for no managerial stuff because it's not me. It's not me. I'm in the trenches again. And I was like, join us. Welcome. But this is, we were talking. You know, I was just, you know, since she's a human being again, I guess, down on the same level as me, we were just talking and going over stuff. I was asking her about pay and raises and stuff like that, and she's finally able to be honest now because she's not a supervisor anymore. And she was just like, oh, yeah, and one more thing. don't ever bring up your ADD to our director, because when I was manager, he would ask me very regularly if your ADD was impacting your work. Here's a story of how they even know I have ADD. When I first started the job, I was really dealing with some health problems, and because I now had a job and was able to begin attending doctor's appointments and trying to really get some help for myself, I made it clear to them that, hey, I'm going to doctor's appointments and I've been dealing with a lot of like really weird like brain fog, like I just can't focus sometimes and some tasks are very difficult for me to do and I don't understand what's going on. It's up to you to decide what you want to do with that information, but I will always put my work forth. I also made it clear to my director that I was having some physical health problems as well, and that I was working to get them resolved, and I don't plan on letting it impact my work, but if it ever does, I just need you to understand where I'm coming from. Period. End of sentence. I did the responsible employee thing. If I had no doubt at all whatsoever that whatever I was dealing with was not at all going to impact my work, then I would have never told them. I would have never told them at all. But me being a half-decent employee, knowing that it's my job to get my job done, and knowing that whatever it was I was struggling with, I did not know at the time, was impacting my work. It was impacting my work ethic. It was impacting me. Now, of course, they didn't notice it until I brought it up, but they were understanding and they were patient with me. Later down the line, I did get a diagnosis for everything. I have the joint problems, the nerve problems, and I have ADD. And so, of course, my director said, you know, keep us updated. You know, we're worried about you. We care about you. You know, the usual bullshit that they tell people to make them feel like, you know, they're valuable. And they're obviously not. And so I did, you know, because I already let them in on that. I was going to finish what I started and give them a conclusive answer as to what's going on with me. And an employer should know who they are employing. If they, you know, it was really just my business. You know, it really is my business. I'm not advocating for anybody who deals with any sort of neurodivergency or disability or anything, period. You don't have to explain yourself. Okay, you don't have to tell anybody shit about you. That is your business. This was just a decision that I made. Because at the time I valued that job, and at the time I valued my coworkers, and at the time everything was going really well for me at my job, and I hadn't really seen any of the ugliness yet. So I was just like, yeah, you know, this was the choice that I made. I decided to inform them. And I told him once, like, hey, I just wanted to update you on my health problems. I've been diagnosed for everything, and I've also been diagnosed for ADD. You know, I went through my diagnosis, and I was just like, but you know, I am working through it with myself, and I am seeking counsel, and I'm going to keep it under control, and it should in no way affect my work, as it has not. Because though I was struggling through work at the time, and I was fearful that because I was struggling through work, that my work ethic would be impacted, it was not. I was struggling through my work, no doubt, but I was still getting it done just as fast as any other employee. And that was back when it was still warm outside. That was back when it was still summertime. Summertime. This week, I have to hear that since summer, apparently, my work has been constantly called into question when it wasn't called into question prior to this, because of my ADD, because of something I shared in the confidence, and which was, I don't know, it's just, it felt gross. I know from like a managerial perspective, right? Like you gotta, you know, if you know that your employee has some pitfalls, then you need to keep in check with them. But I didn't tell that to my supervisor or my coworker, who then became my supervisor, who then went back to being my coworker. I told that directly to my director, and for him to go behind my back and continue to just wait for me to just fall apart, I guess. I don't know what he was expecting when he checked in to hear, like, I'm, I don't know, like, dying at the desk. It hurt. It hurt because in my mind, I felt as though I was doing the responsible employee thing. And after talking to my sister, she also felt like, yes, I did do the responsible employee thing and my work was not impacted and I'm still a good employee. So he had, first off, no right to go behind my back like that. If he had any concerns about how my neurological health was impacting my work, he should have come directly to me, but he did not. And B, it's just gross. It's gross to just to find out this thing that somebody tells you in confidence and to just shit on it. Like, just shit on it and go behind. I don't know. It just felt nasty. And I literally cried. That was frustrating. I am usually a very strong and unbothered and composed person, but one of the things that does hurt me is because I'm so outgoing and typically I'm very capable, when my physical or neurological pitfalls holds me back or prevents me from doing something, try as I might, that I really want to do and that I could do if I just didn't have this issue, it hurts. Because, you know, growing up, I think my health problems really reared their ugly heads early on in my high school years. And I went so many years, 4 years actually, I spent a good part of the more interesting parts of my youth sick. And not just that, sick in a toxic environment. So I wasn't given care. I was just left to curl up in bed and be hurt and be sick and not know why I'm hurting and sick and not know why I can't do these things that other people are doing. I don't know why my body isn't working. And because I grew up in such a shit environment, it's not like I had anybody supporting me or helping me through that. You know, I just had a whole bunch of people taking me to doctors and doctors not having an answer, first off, and then being bullied at home for, I don't know, being dramatic or something. Like, that's what I had to endure. And so then when I get up into adulthood and I finally have the opportunity to take care of myself in a way I was previously not able to find out that I'm dealing with problems that cannot be fixed, that I feel like in and of itself is far more frustrating. That's so much more frustrating because now you're not left in the dark. Now you know exactly what it is and you still can't do shit about it. You know, you think that when you find a diagnosis that's it. That's it. We know what it is and we can get rid of it and we can move on. That's not the case. And so I hate that somebody poked at something that is out of my hands, you know? Because if ADD was something metaphysical that I could just pick up and throw away, I would. If the chronic pain I deal with every single day, so bad in fact that I deal with insomnia as a result of the pain, I would get rid of it. I would get rid of it in a heartbeat. I cannot. And that hurt. I'm not usually hurt by things, but that definitely hurt me. And I have not talked to my director about it. I have not. But I just, I don't know. I'm kind of like, with work at least, I'm kind of in this frame of mind where I needed this job back when I had it, back when I first got it. And I needed this job when I was homeless, and I kept it while I was homeless. I needed this job when I was trying to heal from my, you know, mental emotional scars, and I kept it. I needed this job back before coronavirus, before we were completely unsocialized, because back then I didn't have access to other people or just other people to talk to or interact with. I needed the job then. I'm just beginning to realize that while I still need a job, maybe this job is not the one that I need. And unfortunately, I'm stuck. I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I have this job because I can pay my bills. Grateful, grateful, grateful. But because of the pandemic, I am stuck. And I mean, apply for jobs as I may, it's the economy's in shambles. Nobody's hiring. So I'm just, I don't know. I'm fed up with work, honestly. That's it. That's all I have to say about work. Work sucks. And I just, after that, I pushed through the rest of my work week. I crocheted. I got my work done. I actually got my work done faster and better than I did before I was told that I was being talked about behind my back. Just because I'm petty that way, especially now that my director is now the one that is working directly with us, because it used to be that my director would communicate with my supervisor, but she quit because she deserves to. So, you know, maybe it was just that he was out of contact with me for so long that he forgot who he was working with. I don't know. Maybe he lost track of who he was dealing with, because I'm not the one that he knows it. But that's that on that. That's that about work. Hated that. Oh, so I can finally talk about it. if the person I'm talking about ever hears this podcast, you know who you are. And I said what I said, period. I'm just going to preface it with that. So we formerly had this really nasty ass roommate. I don't know if I told the whole story about her. I think I was like avoiding telling a story about her just because I didn't want to stir the pot. But now she's gone, and I will stir whatever the fuck I want to, because she did me dirty. She actually did the entire house dirty. So you know what? It is what it is, but I'm not going to give out her name or any personal information. But we had this roommate. And, you know, she was really chill, but, you know, what ended up happening was apparently she had been taking out. So I have not lived here for very long. I've lived here since the summertime. And, you know, we have other roommates that have been here for much longer and have lived with her for much longer. And it was not of my knowledge, but apparently she had been taking out the household garbage for about a year. And yeah, by herself, she chose to do that. Nobody forced her to take out the garbage. She just woke up one morning and she decided she was going to take out the garbage every week for a year. That's what she did. And I didn't know that. And because we were so, like, at the time, we were really uncoordinated around the house, we didn't really talk to each other about cleaning schedules or anything like that. So, you know, things got cleaned whenever somebody felt like cleaning at the time. And so, of course, there was probably, you know, we were all kind of starting to get frustrated with the cleaning of the house because there was no coordination, there was no communication. I think we were all starting to get frustrated. We just were not vocalizing it properly because at least some of us are extremely non-confrontational adults. Some of us. Well, you know, I'm at work one day, and this was a while ago, a few months ago, actually. I'm at work minding my own business one day, and I get a text. Cursing me out, literally, just like, I heard you said some shit, I'm not your maid, grow up, some other stuff. I'm like, uh-huh. Apparently some other stuff was said in the group chat. I have an Android and everybody else has iPhones. I don't really have full access to group chats sometimes. Sometimes messages do come through, most times they don't. So I come home thinking, all right, somebody's pissed. Fair enough. And there is, and let me tell you, when she texted me and she was like, you know, I'm fed up, I'm not your maid, yada, yada, yada. I was just like, yeah, valid. You're 100% true. You're not my maid. Nor am I yours. And I am also sharing in your frustration about the cleaning. Why don't we sit down together and we can all come together and talk about a cleaning schedule, you know? And she was just like, we'll talk about it when I get home. I was just like, okay, sure. Sounds like a plan. First off, she wasn't home. And she did not come back home for like 2 months after that. Bitch made. I come home, go upstairs to my room, says like, start putting my stuff away. And first off, there's a garbage can in the middle of the kitchen. The recycling's missing. So I'm thinking, okay, don't know why the garbage can is in the middle of the kitchen and the recycling is missing, but all right. It was a lot of recycling in the kitchen too. And it was all gone. I was like, all right, somebody took out the recycling. And I go up to my room and lo and behold, I find the recycling garbage sitting in front of my bedroom door with a note on it that says, I'm not your maid. I felt feelings about that, but I decided not to react that day, because had I reacted that day, it would not have been pretty. See, I'm typically very calm and unbothered. I've said this multiple times in this podcast alone. I'm typically very calm and unbothered, but when I do get angry, it's because you've really done something to piss me off, and leaving garbage in front of my door really pissed me off. Not to mention that day in particular, I had a very stressful day. I had a stressful day for work. I had a stressful day for my personal life. I was being cursed out by my estranged mother all that day. Which just interacting with her triggers PTSD for me. And then for her to have the audacity to start getting verbally violent with me, that was just another level. And even that, even with the work stress, even with the personal life stress, I did not react to any of it. I didn't react. I was just like, yep, all right, cool, have a nice day, you know, to all of it. The cursing out by my mother, the crap at work, you know, I can't even remember what the crap at work was. I just know that work was testing me that day. You know, and then the stuff at home, that really pissed me off, you know. Well, fast forward a couple months, you know, she's coming home every now and then, literally just for the sake of leaving notes around the house, just telling us we ain't shit for no reason. And then leaving before anybody can catch her. And sending texts to the group chat, because I'm not always capable of seeing the texts that are sent to group chats, especially by iPhones, but I could see some of the ones that she sent. Being a little bitch. Finally, without saying anything, after like, what, 3 months of not being home, after blowing up like that, because I had to hear from my roommate who was home when she came there to just enact war and horror, right? That she was yelling and screaming and making a scene and all of that shit. After 3 months, she just decided to move out. She just she just decided to leave. That was it. She didn't talk to us once. She put notes up and she sent texts and didn't even really reply to them. Period. Bitch made. So she moved out, what was it, this week? And also this week, we got two more roommates. And I'm actually very, very, very pleased with the roommate that we have living with us now. She is, I don't really know her. She moved in like yesterday. But of my few interactions I did see of her yesterday, I have learned a few things. One, she's cute as a button, just like aesthetic wise. Which I should not be calling grown adults cute as a button, but I tell anybody that they're cute as a button. Like my friend Leo, he's cute as a button. Cute and sweet and just, oh, so precious. She also happens to be hard of hearing. She is deaf. Which, cool, sweet. Here's a problem. I don't know ASL. Now, she has told us that she would like us to communicate with her through her phone, but that's not good enough for me. No, I'm not satisfied with that. I'm not okay with that personally. Me being somebody who is neurodivergent, I have to adapt to the world. I have to, neurodivergent and physically impaired, I have to adapt to the world. I have to kind of just alter how I function and how I would do things and how I perceive things and how I interact with the world to accommodate everybody else. I don't know anything about her other than she is cute. I know her name and she is deaf. Now, I can't speak for her, but I could imagine that being a deaf person in a world full of people who, for the most part here, a majority of the people here, you have to do a lot of adapting to people, you know? I saw her sign with her parents, and now she's having to whip out her phone, or I'm having to whip out my phone, so that she can accommodate me, who can hear. That is stupid. I'm not satisfied with that. I don't like that. That's rude. That's disrespectful. How are you gonna live with somebody, and you can't even communicate with them on their level? Like, you know, between me and my next door roommate, you know? I take time to try to understand her life experiences just as much as she tries to take time to understand me and my life experience. And that is called communicating on somebody else's level. You know, let's communicate. I'm going to communicate with you in a way that you like to communicate. And you're going to communicate with me in a way that we like to communicate. Now, I know it's not as complicated or... The purge truck just rolled through. Now, I know that's the difference between ASL and conventional speaking is definitely not as simple as just understanding somebody else and their life experiences. But in some respect, you can, I don't know if you can understand where I'm coming from. Anyways, to make a long story short, she moved in yesterday. And as soon as I found out she was deaf, I was just like, I need to learn ASL. That's the move right now. That is, so I was up until like 1 a.m. last night. Practicing ASL. Now, I'm almost certain that I am nowhere near efficient in speaking in sign. But let me tell you something. You know, ask not what ADD does to you. Rather, ask what ADD can do for you. One of the great things about having an attention deficit disorder is the fact that the term attention deficit disorder is really an inaccurate term to use for the condition. Actually, the way the psychologist explained it to me was, it's more like an attention selectivity or an attention mismanagement disorder. my brain focuses on what it wants to focus on, quite simply. That's all it is. And because my brain is wired differently, in the same way that my brain can completely disassociate from a task, my brain can also completely go tunnel visioned on a task if it likes it. Thank fucking God my brain likes learning ASL. I have learned how to sign full sentences since she came here last night. Now, of course, I'm going to have to interact with my newest roommate more to get a little bit of grammatical help with my signing, but I feel like, and this might just be the exaggerated swagger of an African-American 20-year-old, but I feel like I could pretty much get a few sentences out and be relatively understood. And I'm going to continue practicing. But a lot of the phrases that I learned are just phrases that I would use in like basic interactions. And here's what I did. Was I learned words pertinent to the way that I speak. So it's, here's a fun thing. You know, like, you know how people who learn like different languages other than the one that they natively speak, right? Or their first language, like people that their first language was not English, right? And then they learn English, and when they start speaking English, they sound like the fucking Oxford Dictionary. Like, they sound so proper and like, you know, like real, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're really speaking English. Like, they're not speaking like we do, you know, just straight slang, like incoherent bullshit. Like, no, they're enunciating, you know? People that learn English as a second language probably speak English better than the rest of us. Let's just keep it real, okay? And I'm aware of that. I feel like that's the case with any language learning, and probably the same with ASL. So, you know, I learned basic phrases like, hi, how are you? I am fine. How are you? I am good. Thank you for asking. You know, basic phrases like that in ASL. And then I basically just deconstructed them and learned filler words so that I can say instead of, hi, good morning, how are you feeling? You know, more like, what's up? Good morning. What it do, honey? How you feeling? You know, like, and that's probably not right. That's probably incorrect. I'm probably gonna get absolutely bashed by this girl. You know what? Now that I think about it, she told us to use our phones to talk to her. I think I'm just gonna do that, and I'm gonna keep my ASL to myself. How have you managed to speak hood ASL? I am trying though. And trying is one of the signs that I learned. I learned how to say hello. Like when I say hello, you know. Hello, hey, what's up? You know, like, so I learned hello, hi, what's up, you know. Good morning. How are you doing? How are you? I'm good. I'm fine. I'm okay. You know, so. I'm immaculate. You know, haven't learned the words for are you hungry or do you want some? Because I'm always sharing my food and, because I'm always sharing my food, it will look like I got beef with you if I just don't offer my food to you. And I don't want to beef with another roommate. I'm so mad. She didn't even let me fight her, man. Ah, that was unfair. Yeah. So that's the other thing that happened this week. The other thing that happened this week is I hung out with my dearest friend, Leo. I haven't seen him since my birthday. Finally got to give him his Christmas present. That's funny. You know, he came over, we both expressed how broke we were before coming over, so he was like, oh, I'll get us a Groupon for food. I was like, no, I'm broker than Groupon. I'm too broke for Groupon. So why don't we do this? Why don't I cook and you come over, we have lunch, and then we go to a coffee shop and we buy the cheapest beverage we have available. And he was like, yes, precisely, period. That's a great idea. And that's what we did. I cooked so-so focaccia. I've baked better focaccia than that. I put too much water in the dough, and that's completely my fault. And some pea soup. The pea soup came out delicious. Honestly, I've never cooked pea soup before, and I really just winged it, dude. I winged it. I pulled that out my ass, and I really did that. Like, it was delicious. So I'm very proud of myself. I am wife material. Taking husband applications right now. And when I say husband applications, I don't just mean people with dicks. Actually, I prefer that you don't have a dick. And if you do have a dick, then you use it for good. And not just, like, nasty misogyny and awfulness, you know, like, yeet. Somebody marry me, anybody. I'm a great wife. I cook, I clean, and that is every reason why you should put a ring on me, and I'm happy about it too. It's not even like a patriarchal or misogynistic thing. Those are truly things that I enjoy doing, especially for other people, because I have housewife in my DNA. Yeah, anyway, so after we ate, we went to the cafe, and then we did something interesting because Leo likes Leo. Okay, so I guess Leo doesn't get to be weird around other people. And because I'm weird, he gets to be weird around me, because I'm going to be weird around him. I'm going to be weird around whoever I'm with. It does not matter. I'm going to do me regardless of what you're doing, period. We went to the sex shop. There is a sex shop in my neighborhood that the over 18 store, you know, in my neighborhood that I have legitimately just been too scared to go to. And now I actually want to work there. Like, if they have any full-time positions that pay more than $15 an hour, I'm actually applying. That is the best place on earth. I don't know why I hadn't gone sooner. Like, the top level of the store was like, I think that was like the vanilla shit. That was for people that are like, oh, we just want some toys, something small. But then they have like this downstairs area. Dude. I found this. Okay, I have to like be very meticulous in explaining it. I need you guys to close your eyes and visualize exactly what I'm describing to you. Okay, a power drill, just a power drill out of your dad's toolbox, just power drill. Okay, a power drill that comes with a 7-piece attachment set. Just a power drill with an attachment set. The attachment set are drill bits. Just drill bits. But the drill bits are like a mix of like butt plugs and dildos and fleshlights. And that's when I saw that. Something awakened in me. There was no way. To be clear, there was no way on the planet I would actually call the police if anybody even considered for a second using some shit like that on me. I would scream right from the rooftops. But I need to own it. I don't own it right now because, as I previously expressed, I am broke. Broke. But when I'm not broke, the day comes where I'm able to save up the $200 that thing costs. You better believe that I am going to go marching in that store with a purpose and purchase it. Okay. That is the best thing I have ever seen, period. That's the best thing I've ever seen. That thing is like, who? Amazing. That is so amazing. That is. I want to know. I want to see the face of the individual that would use that. It's definitely not me. I'm only purchasing it. My desire for this instrument is purely based off of just like the shock factor that I experienced. And it's like, it's horrible. I hate it. But I think I caught like instantaneous Stockholm syndrome. And that's the only thing I've been thinking about is the drill and you attach dildos to it. That is the entire set. It's literally a drill with a whole bunch of different like sex toys that you screw into it and then you turn on the drill. Oh, yes. I want it. I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. If they have it on Amazon, I'm gonna put it on an Amazon wish list and then I'm gonna gather a group of simps and just wait for it to be purchased. Yeah. Wow, that's almost everything that's been going on this week. Just this evening. Oh no. Here's the biggest thing. Not really the biggest thing, but a big thing. Maryland finally has snow. Actually, a good portion of the East Coast finally has snow. In fact, we have a snowstorm. We in the state of Maryland are expected to see anywhere between 6 to 12 inches of snow in the next couple of days. Which we don't. First off, Maryland doesn't really get that much snow. I think the last time I saw that much snow was like back in middle school. Middle school. And there was like 5, 6 feet of it. 5, 6 feet of snow. It was really serious for Maryland. You see that shit in New York, and it's just like, eh. Going to work anyways. See that shit in Canada, it's like, eh. Going to school anyways. But Maryland is expected to get anywhere between 6 to 12 inches of snow. Which for us is a lot. We don't really get snow like that out here. And we didn't see any snow at all last year. Maybe like a couple of flurries, but like not really any snow that stuck. So I was very happy to wake up this morning and get a white Christmas in January. Oh, speaking of white Christmas, hey, let's move my rent money into my checking account so that it can be automatically withdrawn by my landlord, hey, because rent is due tomorrow. That's why I'm so broke, dude. Utilities were crazy this month too because we just, landlord just decided to put 3 months worth of a water bill just right on there. I don't know if that's like a utility thing, like the utility company does it that way, or I don't know, girl, but that was a lot. That's a lot. Okay, make a transfer. Okay. What was I talking about? Snow. It's snowing. So like literally what I ended up doing so bad. What I ended up doing was I literally just woke up. I literally stepped out of bed and went directly to the doorway where I slid on my shoes And I took photos out in the snow with my pajamas on. It was very satisfying. Then later on, I did not take a shower because fuck showering. Why would I do that? Definitely did put deodorant on, but I didn't really shower. I didn't really smell at all. In the wintertime, I tend not to stink. In the summertime, I smell like shit. But, you know, I put on something nice. Didn't shower. Did, like wipe my face and everything. Put on deodorant lotion. And I took the train to Virginia, where I did what I do just about every week. And that is take a shit at Nordstrom. And I enjoyed my Nordstrom shit. It was very enjoyable. That was a 10 out of 10 shit. It was a 10 out of 10 bathroom. Actually, it was so great because of the snowstorm. The snow, the mall was like barren. So I was able to get to the Nordstrom bathrooms when they were freshly cleaned. You know, lid the toilet seat up. Delicious. I got to actually sit my butt on that toilet seat and take a shit. And it was very enjoyable. And then I went into the lounge area of the women's lounge, not the bathroom area. I exited the bathroom area of the women's lounge after washing my hands and putting myself back together. And I went to the lounge area and I took a whole bunch of pictures because I don't know, I was just feeling myself today. The lounge was just really doing something for me. My outfit was doing something for me. Living life. I grabbed a cup of Starbucks, which deprived me of my last few dollars, which is fine. I get paid Friday. $2 in my bank account. I'm bothered. It's fine. And, yeah. Yeah. It's definitely what I did. Life is great. I have no regrets. Everything's fine and dandy. And that was essentially my week. That was it. I just wanted to ramble for a little bit and also give you guys a podcast. Because you very much deserve it. For my few listeners out there, thank you for listening. You know, I feel like I do like a really interesting podcast. And every really interesting podcast is always followed by just like the shittiest possible podcast episode. Where I just talk about just incohesive shit. Hey, this is the Incohesivity Podcast. That's the whole point. I just ramble about stuff that doesn't even make sense. And I like it that way. It's my podcast. I can do whatever the fuck I want with my podcast. If I want to talk about random shit, I can do that. Alright, well. This was your episode of the Incohesivity Podcast with your host, Asya. Me. As we always end our podcasts, in the words of Mr. Rogers himself, it's you I like. Not the way you do your hair. Not the things you wear. It's you I like. Just the way you are. Y'all stay safe, especially if you're on the East Coast and you don't know anything about snow and your county doesn't know about snow and y'all are breaking your necks on ice. Stay inside. Work from home. If you must go out because you're an essential worker and you are needed on the front lines, please be careful. I care, and I hope you stay safe and you continue to do God's work. We value you. We appreciate you. Y'all have a good evening. I hate how I end these podcasts, dude.